Paige Killian, founder and CEO of Everything with Style. I've built a business helping busy moms of littles get organized in three simple steps. Like many of my clients, I love being a mom, and I also desire more. If you've ever felt that stirring in your heart, that whisper or really loud voice that keeps you up at night, then you are in the right place. Because this is not a solo mission. Whether you're a little curious or totally ready to be a mom, boss, and use your God-given gifts to serve others, step into your calling, turn your passions into purpose, and still make it to the carpool line on time, then girlfriend, it's time to pivot. I've got you. Now let's get started. For joining me again today for another episode. I have been trying to figure out in our new house the best place for me to set up my little podcast desk station where I shoot my podcasts in my Palisades house, which if you've been following along, you know that we have lost our Palisades house in the Palisades fire January 7th. Technically, without getting too much into it, it was actually on January 8th. We thought we had escaped the fire on the 7th when it happened. And then with those crazy winds, it came back and lo and behold, it got to our house on the 8th. So it is not completely burned down to the ground, but halfway we had a fire in our bedroom and it went all through the walls. And we don't know at this time yet if it's sound, the structure of it. We don't know if we're going to have to go completely down to the studs and start all over. We don't know what we're going to do. So in the meantime, we have decided to live temporarily in a house in Manhattan Beach, and the view is insane. And last episode that I recorded, I sat at the other end of my dining room table because, yay, we finally got a dining room table. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen. We have a dining room table, and I was sitting at one end, and I was actually looking out at the gorgeous, incredible view. And I was trying to get some of that natural light on my face because I've recorded at a couple of different houses because I started in good old 2020 when we were back in West LA before we moved to the Palisades. Little did we know. Okay. So I was sitting at my chair in my bedroom in my Palisades house, and I would open my window and have the natural light come in. And then you would see the cute little fireplace behind me, and I would have like pictures of the kids and some cute little flowers. And truth be told, those were never real flowers because I was always afraid that they would be wilted when I decided to do a podcast episode, and I wanted them to always look nice. I had my little awards, my like speaking award and my podcast awards, all that kind of stuff was going on in the background. At this house, it's interesting because I haven't figured out a place where I can have a good background for you guys to see. If you look on social media, I always put a little clip up of the podcast episodes at Everything with Style Mom on Instagram, if you're there. And I've actually been falling behind the last couple of times because it's just been total craziness and chaos, which is actually what I want to talk to you about today. But anyway, today I was like, man, this view is insane. It's so gorgeous. So the house that we're at, we're slightly up on a hill and we have a gorgeous view of the ocean. You can see this beautiful sky up here. And then we have some roofs of houses and you can see those a little bit and some fun palm trees. And it reminds me a little bit of our Palisades view that we had. And so I wanted to capture that, but unfortunately, it's a little awkwardly lit. And I'm sitting on a stool that I got from Amazon because when we first moved in, we were like, how much are we actually going to spend on things for a house? Are we, you know, everything was up in the air, right? So, like I mentioned, what I want to talk to you about today has a lot to do with making all those decisions that we're having to make, even down to how do I set up where I'm going to record my podcast episodes now. And this house is bigger than our other house and it echoes. There's not a lot of furniture in here because we're working on that. Okay. We're working on it. And also, where's the dog going to sit? Because you know that Thor would always sit with me whenever I would record my podcast episodes in my bedroom when I would record at the Palisades house. And so now we have conveniently stuck him over in a little corner in a crate in our living room so he can sort of kind of be a part of the action, but not running around like a wild man. If you know French bulldogs, you know, and a lot of dogs get this too, but Frenchies are notoriously crazy and they're funny personalities. He will get the zoomies. And because this house is now so big and because it's so wide open, there's not a lot of doors. There are a lot of door frames, but there aren't a lot of doors to stop this little dude. And he runs all over the place like almost said a crazy person, like a crazy dog with his zoomies, and we can't catch him. And me being, on the heels of recovering from a broken ankle. Yes, if you didn't know, after our house burned, then I slipped and fell and broke my ankle. Good times. I have not been able to chase him around in the same way. So lots of different things going on in my life. And I was due for a breakdown. I was due. My birthday was a couple of days ago as I'm recording this now. March 30th is my birthday. And I really just wanted to skip it this year. This has not been the greatest situation. It's not. There have been a lot of things at the start of 2025 that have slowed me down, some mentally, some physically. That ankle really got me. And it was actually both mental and physical slowing down. Some days I was grateful for it in a weird way because I had an excuse to kind of hide out a little bit and be like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be walking on this. I'm not supposed to be doing too much. And I could have my little, depression pity party in my room. I didn't do that too much because I knew if I leaned in too much to that, it would be too easy to stay in that place. And I have talked about that a little bit on the podcast episodes that have aired these last couple of months, couple of crazy months. What I haven't really talked a lot about yet, and the thing that got me to feeling like I was going to have a nervous breakdown, and as I mentioned, I was due. I feel like I've been holding it off, is the decision fatigue. It didn't matter if I had a broken ankle or if I was healing or if I was going religiously to my physical therapy sessions 3 times a week and doing more exercises at home and outfitting the house. And it was like, I realized that I wasn't the only one. It was like all of these people were going through this all at the same time. And I learned that it's not just me because I finally opened up about it and started talking to some of my mom friends about this, my own mom. Hi, mom. I know you're listening. And I had a conversation with a friend the other day that made me think, it doesn't matter that I broke my ankle and maybe some of these other people haven't broken their ankle. They're going through the same thing. And we're all at different levels of feeling like this. But I think that having my birthday come up was sort of the final thing that made me break. How do you feel about birthdays? Do you feel like they're super exciting and fun and you want to plan big parties? So I just had my 44th, and I can tell you in my 20s, and even a lot of years in my 30s, I was like, game on, it's my birthday. Which weekend are we going to do it? Are we going to do it the weekend before the birthday or after? If your birthday doesn't fall on a weekend day, you got to have, the freaking weekend, right? We got to have the birthday celebration on the weekend, and you got to have that day to prepare before, and then you got to have that day to recover after. I mean, the second March 1st rolled around, and my birthday is the 30th. I was like, it's my birthday month. Let's freaking go. I was so into my birthday, and it actually had nothing to do with me. It was an excuse for me to get my favorite people together and have some fun. That's really what it was about. It wasn't about like, oh, it's my birthday. Look at me. Get me all these things. Not at all. It was an opportunity to get all of my favorite friends and family together and do fun stuff. And I got to pull the it's my birthday card. So whatever I said, that's what was going to happen. This year, given everything that's gone on, the thought of gathering a bunch of people together, no matter how much I love them, and I do have a lot of great people I love, the thought of it was so overwhelming and stressful. And I had a little breakdown, had a little breakdown. Okay. It was short, it was quick because I didn't want to make anybody else uncomfortable. But I had some tears in my bathroom alone. And then my husband found me in the closet because I was trying so hard to rally to go to Sushi Roku with my family after I had been very clear to my husband that I didn't want to do anything for my birthday. I wanted a nap. I didn't want to make any decisions. I didn't want to do anything. And I also talked to him about feeling like it felt very forced. And it was like, well, if we haven't gotten together to go out to dinner or, gotten together to do anything fun since all this crazy fire nonsense, like, why are we going to start now just because it's my birthday? That feels forced. It feels fake. And I didn't want to have any part of it. Are you guys hearing this and thinking I'm the worst right now? Do I sound like the worst? I think this is where I say sorry, not in a disrespectful way, but just I realized that I needed to lean into these feelings that I was having because they were real and I couldn't stop them from happening anymore. I'd sort of stuffed them down because we were all in go mode. We had to decide where are we going to live? What are we going to do? How long are we going to stay here? What are the kids going to do about school? Are we going to take them out? Are we going to take them to another school that's closer to Manhattan Beach so that we don't have the long drive? Okay, no, we're going to keep them at their school. Are we going to make that drive to and from Santa Monica from Manhattan Beach every day? Because that's awful. Or are we going to invest? And when I say invest, I am not joking, you guys. They are on the most expensive party bus. I'm like, what? It's my birthday. I don't even get a party bus. They are on a party bus. It is a private, nice bus. I'm like, I remember the days of riding the yellow school bus with no seat belts and the windows down the whole time because it was hot as you know what in Tennessee and sticky and funky, and there was certainly no AC. This bus, these children, these bougie children are riding on. I mean, it's our fault. We're parents. We put them on it. But we were like, this is a beast. If we're going to be living down here in the South Bay, driving all the way up multiple days a week, Monday through Friday, it's going to kill us. It's going to absolutely kill us. And a lot of us parents, we're still working, and now we've got all of these decisions on top of us to make. And so we were all like, what are we going to do? And a brilliant mom, couple brilliant moms, one brilliant mom was like, I'm at this place. There's a great parking lot right now that we could have a bus come to. We're all pretty centrally located to that within 5 to 10 minutes away. Where I think we might be on the further end because we're 10 minutes away from it. But we were like, done. We're going to do it. Well, we've got two kids at this school. So then that bus ride times two. And so many hundreds of dollars later, and it's going to be into the thousands. Are we crazy? Maybe a little crazy. Later, at the end of the school year, we are paying to have someone, a responsible person, take our kids comfortably on this bus, more than comfortably. Oh, I got some little flying things in the air. Hold on. I've got some little, I don't know, right before I sat down to record this, I wiped down my area and I think some little, I don't know if it's dust, it's like little strings or something are floating in the air. Okay, so I'm getting distracted. So I was like, all right, fine, we take that off the list. And at first I was just going to do it because I had the broken ankle and I couldn't drive. And then, I mean, I could technically, I could drive, just to be clear and make sure I'm telling 100% of the truth here. I could drive with my right foot because I hurt my left ankle, but it was really hard because my foot was getting weighed down and heavy. And at the time, in those early days of getting the kids back to school, I was supposed to still be elevating my foot and icing and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, it was going to be difficult. Now, I'm still picking them up every day. Some other parents and I are trying to coordinate carpool pickups, drop off, volleyball pickup, drop off, all those things. Because it's a lot. So I know that I'm not alone in this, but I hadn't really opened up until recently. I had a conversation with a sweet friend that she and I have been, once we put our kids on the bus, we sort of just sit in the parking lot and chat it up. And sometimes 45 minutes to an hour go by and we're enjoying the adult conversation, I think, but I think we're also avoiding all the things that we have to do. Because why? Because we have decision fatigue. It is weighing on us. It is getting exhausting. And, it's so funny because I've kind of joked to her that I was going to be planning my mental breakdown because I'm such a planner. I'm like, I feel like I have to plan if I'm going to have an emotional moment or if I'm going to, I need to like dismiss myself from the family and find a place to go where nobody's going to hear me or see me so that I can be in my feels and handle that. And the truth is, there's just not a place to do that in this house. I'm telling you, the lack of doors. It became great to have an open floor plan, and I do love that. But can I get a bathroom door? Lord have mercy. Can I get a bathroom door? I didn't have a bathroom door in the Palisades either. And it's like, when did we stop putting doors on bathrooms? That's the place that we need the most privacy. And if you're a mom with young children, you know that you can't go to the bathroom by yourself. So the fact that there are no doors, I just think this had to be designed by a man who either wasn't a dad or like maybe was never exposed to children. I don't know. Maybe a bachelor. I don't even know if this man who designed these buildings are married, because we need privacy in the bathroom and we have no door on our bathroom yet again. So I think whenever we rebuild our Palisades house, that might be the first thing on my list. Some important fire things that we're going to need to put in place in our house now that weren't there before, but a door. Mama needs a door to the bathroom. So I was even thinking the other day, I'm like, I was getting frustrated with my husband. So what else is new? Maybe you guys are listening and you understand. I love my husband. He's great. He's doing a really great job. He's a great dad. All those things, right? Okay. So all that stuff is true. Simultaneously, I was irritated for whatever reason. And I just thought, like, I can't even get into a conversation where I feel like I could tell him how frustrated I am right now. At this point, I don't even know that it was at him. I think it was just in general because I have too much to do. I have too many decisions to make. And so I was like, okay, when am I going to do that? When am I going to have this conversation with him? Because I know if I have this conversation with him, it's going to get me all riled up. And then I'm going to start saying all the things that I need to be saying, that I need to be getting handled, and I'm going to dump all of that on him. And I'm looking at my watch thinking, no, let's be real. I don't have a watch. I don't have a watch anymore. Okay, I lost that. I was looking at my phone because I have a clock on my phone. And I was thinking, I have just enough time to say this much of it. But if he asks a follow-up question to that, I can only answer quickly, but not the full explanation because I have to get to this or that. And then the service provider for this thing in the house that we're doing is going to show up. And then, oh my gosh, I need to record a podcast episode. But again, we go back to the house being so open wide. So anybody who's here doing work, I can't even go in another room and do it because you can hear banging or you can hear the noises, or I've got kids walking in and out because they're like, they're making me crazy for this reason. And this person walked in my room. Did I mention to you guys the design of this new house has adjoining showers for my children? Let me just say that a 14-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy, they don't need to even have a Jack and Jill bathroom that they share sink counter space, right? Much less share a shower. So you walk into Duke's room and you go to his bathroom and you open the shower and you step in. And not only are you in Duke's shower, but you are in Isabel's shower. Two separate shower heads. I'm not even talking one shower head that both children can access. Two separate shower heads in this long rectangular shower built for two. Again, I think a bachelor who had friends who were going to be taking up residence in these guest rooms designed this house because that just makes no sense. There's no place on earth that two sisters, a brother and sister, or two brothers are all getting in their showers, and we're just gonna end it at that, okay? There's no way a bachelor did not do this house. There's no way. Okay, we're gonna move on and we're gonna talk about when we have all of these decisions to make about all these millions of things. And as I'm sitting here, I'm just glancing up to the side where I'm realizing that I have nothing on the wall. And late night, 2 nights ago, I decided I'm just going to go on Amazon and see if I can buy some like mirrors and some neutral paintings that aren't too expensive because I don't feel quite moved in yet. It still doesn't feel like our house. It still feels like we're living in somebody else's house and we're trying to get some things up on the walls and furniture in place and throw a blanket here or a picture of the family here. Or my sweet friend Zoe, thank you, Zoe. She came and brought me tulips. And I said, I really need these tulips because I have no color in my house whatsoever. And I needed a pop of color because everything is like beige and cream and neutral. And in a lot of the rooms, that was my choice to make it neutral. But I think it was void of personality and fun. And beauty. And I'm looking at my tulips right now. Thank you, Zoe. I love them so much. My birthday tulips. And I told her, I said, you know, I don't think that I've been given tulips since I was proposed to, which was 20 years ago. That is crazy. 20 years ago, I was proposed to. And actually, wait, oh my goodness, tomorrow I got proposed to on April 2nd, and I'm recording this on April 1st. I think it was 20 years ago. Tomorrow, exactly. That's wild. That's crazy. I'm gonna have to tell my husband that I'm not super frustrated with right now. So, you know, we can have that conversation safely and nobody's gonna get hurt. So, how do we combat all of these decisions as I'm looking at the walls and thinking, oh gosh, we're gonna have somebody deliver these paintings and these oversized mirrors. And then I'm going to have to then hire somebody to come in. We don't have tools. I don't have my toolbox anymore that I used to have at my Palisades house that's gone. My husband doesn't have tools. I did attempt to buy a cheapy little toolbox when we first got into this situation. I can't remember what I needed a tape measure. You can't be a professional organizer and not have a tape measure on you at all times. What I do realize, I did realize though, is that I actually have one still in the console of my car. So I do have a tape measure there for any time I go to clients' houses. I always have one on me. But I needed one for the house. And so I bought this little, you know, from Target, just a cheapy little tool box, and it had a screwdriver in there. But what I didn't realize is when you give that screwdriver to your husband who's trying to mount a TV with this dinky little screwdriver and it's like a motorized one, he ended up stripping it, breaking it. It just was a total disaster because it was a little cheapy. And so now we're back to not having a screwdriver. So it's so silly. But it's like, man, I even thought that was a decision that I had made that I got to check off the list. And it turns out I'm not done yet. We still need to get some more tools. And in the meantime, we need to hire a professional to come in and hang these things. So every time I would get to a place of feeling like, okay, I've made a decision, something was incomplete about that. And if it did get completed, I might start second guessing myself because I didn't have other things in the works that would make that make sense yet. And I don't know how you do when you're in a situation where you have so many decisions to make, so many. I can't explain how exhausting it's been telling my brain, no, that's at the other house. You don't have that anymore. And then thinking, what am I going to do? Because I need that thing right now. Do I purchase that thing? Do I rent that thing? Do I call someone who can help me with that thing? For every single decision I make, every day, all day, every day. Losing your home, losing your entire community, moving to a different place, that's one thing. Losing all of the stuff inside of it, where you know how we, of course, are going to say, so happy we made it out. We're safe. Yay, winning at life. We're grateful. That is very true. Stuff doesn't matter. Okay. Everybody's saying that stuff. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. A lot of the stuff that we have in our homes are things that we need on a daily basis. And so to have to replace not just a home, this isn't just like moving into a new home and then you get to pack up all your stuff and move it from one home to another. I mean, that can be very stressful, right? We don't have any of the stuff other than the one suitcase that I took from the house when we left. And so from January 7th on, now that we're in April, there's a lot of stuff to replace. And again, I'm so grateful for the stuff that we do have. But it turns out there are still so many more things that we need to get, and that requires more brain power. And when you don't have any kind of a break because you have to make decisions about tools or a bus, getting the kids to school, or where is the dog going to sleep because he doesn't have his main crate that he used to sleep in. I could go on and on. And any of you who have experienced a house fire, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because again, it's not just replacing the actual building, it's all the stuff inside where you have to start over. I mean, we didn't have beds, we didn't have bedding, we didn't have towels. We didn't have washcloths to take makeup off. We didn't have toilet paper. I mean, look, we buy toilet paper on the regular, right? It doesn't matter if your house burns down, you got to buy toilet paper. We didn't have razors, you know, for the, it's like, oh, you get in the shower and you remember to get shampoo and conditioner, but you didn't get a razor. And, you know, it's never ending. So that's how it's been landing on us. And I joke again that I was having to like plan a breakdown because I didn't have a moment to really just cry and be in the feels of it all. But that's the first thing that I'm going to tell you. Name it and claim it. When you're trying to push past decision fatigue, you're trying to figure out how to handle all those emotions. The first thing is to truly just say, I have decision fatigue. And I didn't know that that's what was going on with me at first. I didn't actually realize decision fatigue was a thing. I don't think I'm the first person to coin this phrase, but that wasn't something that I had heard before. But it turns out it's definitely a thing. And I'm not the only person going through it. And so the first thing that I have learned is that I just need to own that's what's going on with me. So my birthday breakdown, my emotional state, maybe how I'm snapping at people that I love and I don't want to talk to them that way. Maybe even just the way that I'm going about my day. Am I fully getting dressed? Am I actually putting a little makeup on or brushing my hair? Did I brush my teeth today? Am I all those little things? It's like, how am I really showing up in my life? And how can I use some of those daily, simple decisions that I am making for my benefit? Because here's the second thing that needs to happen. So, first, we're going to name it and claim it. We're going to say what it is. And second, we're actually going to focus on some results from these decisions. So, focusing on the results means, remember how I made that comment about, okay, I thought I had checked that off the list and I had gotten the tools. And so that way, anytime we needed to hang something, then we had the tools to do so. Or if I needed to measure something, I'd got the little kit. And so, okay, I've got my measuring tape. I mean, the problem with that is that I couldn't fully check it off the list because then the motorized screwdriver broke. And so, rendering that decision that I had made, rendering that completely useless, pointless. That was the thing that we needed to be able to screw some things in so that we could mount a TV, for example. And it didn't work. It's very frustrating when you are suffering from decision fatigue and you feel like there's no end in sight with the decision making. So we name it and we claim it. And then we look at the decisions that we are making, little decisions on a daily basis as results. When we get a taste of results, positive results, I should add, that is what gives us that chance to breathe, that chance to say, okay, that decision that I made was meaningful and effective. And it gives you a little bit of a boost, and then it allows you to go on to the next decision. Hey, quick reminder, you can now get my book in four different ways. Head over to Amazon and search up I've Got You, Girlfriend. The subtitle is Why Getting Organized and Living This Mom Life is Not a Solo Mission. You can find it there on e-reader, that's through the Kindle app, paperback, hardcover, and the audiobook. So if you're enjoying this podcast, I have a feeling you may love the audiobook. Again, it's called I've Got You, Girlfriend, Why Getting Organized and Living This Mom Life is Not a Solo Mission. Thanks so much for making it a bestseller, and back to the show. So knowing that the stress that is surrounding me right now is not going to go away anytime soon because I still have so many more decisions to make. What I'm trying to focus on so much, and it's really helping just in these last couple of days that I've realized, oh my gosh, this is what's happening to me. And I'm not alone because other people are saying they're hitting a wall too. This is really going on for them too, and they're feeling emotional. It is that focusing on the results that's actually helping me get through it. When you call it fatigue, we know what that means, right? Low energy, the desire to do more isn't there, lack of motivation, lack of inspiration, lack of everything. And so you don't have anything driving you to move forward and keep making decisions. And if you stop making decisions, you stay stuck. So things that need to get done, they don't get done. And there can be some real consequences for that. Do you guys know that recently, if you updated your phone, your emails, I can almost feel you who is listening. I can almost feel your blood pressure rise if you know what I'm about to say. Because I've talked to a couple of moms about this, and we are like, what? Why? Nobody asked for this update. They have taken our emails and categorize them, not our categories, how we would categorize them. And I'm an OCD organizer, okay? So I have ways that I categorize my stuff, and I'm not even a big tech fan. That's not even my strong suit, but I have my ways. It has now rendered those useless because they have now jacked everything up, and I don't even have a section of my flagged emails anymore that I can go to easily. I have to search, I have to go in and type flagged emails, whereas before I could just click on a button and I knew where they were. I have to go hunting them down. The point of the flagged email is so that you can quickly reference it, right? And I feel like nothing is quick now about this email update that they've done. Who are they? I don't know, but whoever they are, stop it. We didn't, maybe my phone's listening right now. We don't want that update. Go back to the regular. Let's see if anybody heard that. So even that, I was saying it has consequences when you don't make decisions about certain things, right? So the email's getting lost in my inbox somewhere. I don't know. It's under some other category I haven't found yet. Turns out, as my daughter has gotten accepted into this high school, we have a million new emails that we're having to keep up with because they're telling you what the next steps are. Well, when you're missing these very valuable, important, necessary emails because they're in some category that you haven't discovered yet and you don't know how to easily access them, you could become late on doing things that you need to do. So when they send us these emails and they say, okay, this is what you need to do, these are your next steps for your daughter getting into this school, then we need to act on that, but they give it to you in enough advance so that you can kind of break it up and you can do it at your own pace. Well, now that I'm finding these things, and she's saying, Mom, my friend said that we need to fill out this and that and whatever. It's about like electives. Remember when you were in high school and you got to ch choose some of your electives and special classes that you were taking? So they're asking her things like that. They're talking about summer school. Do you need to register for summer school? Do you want to get ahead of the game? You know, then they're talking about sports. If you're interested in trying out for any of the sports, which Isabel is, then you might consider doing some of these, you know, clinics and things through the school before over summer. So all of these, what? New decisions have to be made. And there are consequences and repercussions to not jumping on those right away. What does that do? That then creates more stress and anxiety for a person who is already experiencing decision fatigue. It's exhausting. It feels never ending. It feels never ending. So here is the third thing. This tends to be the third thing in a lot of things that I talk about. Ask for help. Ask for help. I asked my daughter, I said, I need you to talk to all your girlfriends who got accepted to this school. And I need you to ask them, are we missing anything? What are the things that you guys are signing up for? Anytime you're hearing about these things, can you please let me know? And then she can let us know. So we make sure that we're nothing fell through the cracks, you know? It's like having a buddy system. Again, with a lot of these moms that I've been chatting with, and we've been figuring out we've got like our bus driving the kids to and the front. Two in the front, two in the front on the bus. We've been chatting about that in a text to make sure, okay, we're your friend here. We've arrived and the bus is getting ready to leave. Does one of us moms need to like pull our car in front of the bus so that it doesn't leave? Are you coming? So we're like texting, is this person coming? Who's here? Are you guys running late or are you guys driving your kids to school today? Asking for help, having that backup has been so necessary in maintaining my sanity. So, what do you have going on today that you can ask help for? Have you fallen into this category of a decision-fatigued person? Is that who you are? Is that where you're at right now? It's normal. Doesn't matter if your house burned down, doesn't matter if you broke your ankle, doesn't matter if you're going through mold remediation. It's another thing we had to do that felt like a setback. It doesn't matter if your stuff is exactly like my stuff. It turns out it's universally stressful. So, in your stress right now, are you experiencing decision fatigue? If you are, name it and claim it. Be like, this is what is going on. Because if you can establish what it is, that helps you feel like, okay, now that I know, we're going to move forward. It's like giving yourself a little diagnosis. When you have a diagnosis for a problem, then you can work to change it. The second thing, focus on those results. Do some kind of little thing, some kind of decision that you're making. Make it be a decision that you know has an end goal so you can start to see results and you can start feeling that motivation like, okay, I did that thing, I checked it off the list, and it fully got done. Not, I bought a toolbox to hang something and then it broke. And now it turns out I'm in this situation where I still don't have a toolbox that is actually helping me do the job. So that was not, unfortunately, that was not a decision that I got to see to the end. Guess what's on my to-do list now? Buy a screwdriver that you don't have to operate with a battery. Okay, that's going to happen, and hopefully it'll happen today. So then I don't have to keep thinking about this. The indecision causes all of these things that you're thinking about to just keep replaying over and over in your mind. And that is going to keep you stuck if you're not moving forward. So, to get out of that stuckness, I want you to make a decision. Example, I showered, I washed my hair, I blow dried my hair, I curled my hair. And I thought, this is great because this doesn't actually just work for me today. I'm going to live on this hair for the next 4 days. Okay. I might do a little freshening up with the shower part, but I'm going to live on this hair, this clean, dry, blow-dried, and curled hair. Now, the curl has completely fallen out since before my birthday. And so now it's straight, but it's still clean hair. That is a decision that enabled me to see some results. And the cool thing is that I get to experience those results for the next few days. And let's be honest, on the third and fourth day, I might just rock a hat and see if I can get a fifth day out of this hair. So, what is a decision that you can make today that's going to go all the way to the end so you see results? And if you see them, that's going to give you a little bit of that motivation you need to get out of the decision fatigue. Does that make sense? And then the final thing is ask for help. You got to have a buddy system. I texted my husband when I didn't want to feel weak. I don't even want to call it that. I know it's not a weakness. I know I've been doing a lot of things and I know I'm strong. It was a moment of exhaustion. The fatigue really had set in, and the thought of getting dressed and getting ready to go out and put smiles on to celebrate my birthday, I'd rather be in my bed watching something and falling asleep early. But I decided I'm going to rally. I knew what was going on with me. I made the decision to get the shower and do the hair and the makeup and pick the outfit. And when I got to putting my bra on, that was when I had my breakdown. The bra was bothering me. The cute outfit that I had bought before I broke my ankle that I couldn't wear once I had the boot on because the little pants thing didn't fit. So I got this really cute jumpsuit from Paige, the store Paige, great name. And I hadn't worn it yet. And so I was like, okay, perfect. I'm going to wear this. I'm so excited about it. And I put it on and I just felt claustrophobic. My bra wasn't sitting in it right. I don't have my favorite bras that I had that we lost in the fire. And so I'm kind of making do with some of the ones that I bought temporarily, and it wasn't working. And I ripped it all off and I burst into tears. And my decision that I had made about these things wasn't getting completed. And so I needed to do the third step. I needed to ask for help. So I texted my husband, who was in the other room, as I'm bawling. I'm talking sobbing uncontrollably, the ugly cry on my birthday. And we're getting ready to go out to dinner. And I said, heads up. I'm having a moment. I tried on a bra and an outfit that didn't fit, and I burst into tears. And I'm trying to pull myself together, but I'm not doing great. And he said, what do you need? And I was like, I don't even know. I can't think. I can't make another decision. Like, I'm just stuck. I'm stuck. And this is after I had established that I've got decision fatigue. And this is after I had established that I was a little more motivated because I had made this decision and I had seen the results of beautiful hair. It's done. It's clean. It's curled. It's great, right? It was the final step. You know, I love my threes. It was the third step of asking for help. That man came in and he hugged me, and I really needed that. And I could cry just thinking about it, but not because I'm overwhelmed, because I'm grateful. He hugged me and he brought me a small bottle of champagne. And listen, I needed to take the edge off. So that was delightful. I hadn't had a drink. I don't think I'd had a single drink. Maybe I'd had a single drink since the fire, but yeah, I need a little bit of a drink. And that champagne was delicious. And P.S., I had gotten it for myself. I got it for myself the month prior when we decided that we were going to move into this new house. And I was like, I'm going to get this mini bottle of champagne. And then when my husband and I get there, we're going to pop the bottle of champagne and be like, new start, fresh start. This is great, right? Did anybody have the energy to do that? Heck no. So that didn't happen. And so I still had this bottle of champagne. And so he brought that to me, and I popped that bad boy open and I sipped some champagne and I put on a flowy, comfortable dress because I didn't want anything really hugging my body. And then he made our reservation for later. So the reservation we had, I had said, let's do something early. I don't want to get home late. And my birthday was on a Sunday. So I was like, the kids have got school. I don't want to feel stressed when we come back to get ready for school, blah, blah, blah. Because why? Because it was a million more decisions I had to make. And so I was like, I don't want to feel stressed. I want it to be easy when we get home. And he called and he had our reservation extended, made it later. I don't know how you say that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he pushed it. He pushed the reservation to later and he gave me extra time. And that's what I needed. That is what I needed. So, what do you need today? Who can you ask for help? How can you go about asking them for that help? Let them know that you appreciate it. And then, if you keep doing these three things over and over and over again, when you start to feel that decision fatigue, and when you start to feel that overwhelm and that stress, and you keep going back to call it out. Name it and claim it. What is it? It's decision fatigue, and I'm getting overwhelmed and I'm stressed. Say what it is. There's freedom in that. Then you can start to do something about it. Focus on making little decisions that create results fast, getting the motivation from that. And if you're still not feeling quite there, it's time to ask for help. Do not do this life alone. It is not a solo mission. It is definitely not a solo mission. If there's anything I can do for you today, whether it's surrounding decision fatigue, or maybe you are ready to start something new in your life, look, it's only April in 2025. We still got time. What else do you want to do this year? If you need some help in making those decisions and talking things through, I would love to do that with you. As always, I'm sending you some prayers. I love you. I hope this was helpful, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. You got this. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Time to Pivot podcast. If it was helpful for you, I'd love for you to head over to Apple Podcast, hit that fifth star, and write a review. Want to book me to speak at your next event or work with me one-on-one to get clarity around your gifts, how to serve others, and go from stuck and stressed to focused and fulfilled? Reach out on the contact page at everythingwithstyle.com and connect with me on social at everythingwithstylemom. Thanks again for listening and sharing the podcast. And Mom Boss, remember this. Your gifts are meant to be shared. Don't keep them to yourself and stay in your comfort zone. This is your time to pivot.